G7, number 9B.
Then the symbolism changes. That dragon that was waiting at the birth of the child, the woman took that child and saved it right away. How could she save it? How are we going to save us, so to say, from a problem when it comes up? What are we going to do? The woman did something which we should do too. Her child was caught up unto God and his throne. That's what we should do. That we should say, I take the child, the promise, and I put it right back to heaven, right back to God. See, that's truly the sense of Christianity, always to put the idea back to God, or put animal or put evil right back to the nothingness of animal magnetism. These are the two wings that we have to handle, or which we have to demonstrate, that we put everything that is of the nature of evil right back to animal magnetism, to the nothingness of animal magnetism. Why stand aghast at nothingness? And on the other side, we can't leave it just at nothingness. We have to fill up the nothingness with something, or we have still a duality. The somethingness and the nothingness is still a duality. So we have to fill up the nothingness with the somethingness. And to put the idea back into God, and put the idea back into mind, so that it's an idea that has the power of mind, that has the intelligence of mind, to put the idea back into spirit, so that it has the substance of spirit, that it has really the development of spirit, the evolution of spirit, that nothing can hinder that evolution. We put it right back to soul. That is, that idea is of the nature of soul, that is of the nature of joy, that is of satisfaction, that it brings only satisfaction, not sorrow and pain. We put it right back, the idea back to principle, where we see the idea will work by itself, that the idea has a dynamics by itself, will govern by itself, and will govern so that it governs everything that needs to be governed in the universe. Every circumstance, every situation will be governed by the idea. And we put the idea back into life. We see that the idea is indestructible, that nothing can destroy that idea, that that idea is exalted above everything, above all the waves of error, all above that, right back into, like the fowls go right back into the sky and far above the human situation. Or we put the idea back into truth, and I see that idea knows itself. That idea knows what it is, knows what it is true, and therefore knows how to handle its opposite, the erroneous consciousness. So I put the idea back into love, for instance, and see, well, the idea is an idea of love, and in love it's already fulfilled, it's already perfect, it's already complete, it's already at the point of absolute consummation of the hope and of the faith we have put into it. Nothing can touch that. It is absolutely protected from everything. So can you see? You put the idea back into the synonymous term. That's our safety. Then the dragon has no chance to swallow up the child. Not at all. Then the symbolism changes from this was spirit, to see an idea in the reflection of all the seven synonymous terms. So put it into heaven as a place of, as a symbol of that divine principle that includes all seven synonymous terms. Then the symbolism changes and says that the woman fled into the wilderness. And Mrs. Eddy didn't like that wilderness very much. You see, Mrs. Eddy was writing 2,000 years later than John was writing. So she takes that idea and says, this idea must not remain in the wilderness. It may go through the wilderness as the people of Israel went through the wilderness for 40 years, but they reached finally the promised land. So she speaks about this forward-going passage from sense to soul and shows that stately science pauses not, that it goes on and on and on, that behind the idea is the life science, it's the life push, the life impulsion that pushes and pushes the idea always forward. That's our life, the way of life. Pushing it forward and forward, we can see that it leads into divine heights. Can you see how this idea, if you look back to where we started out from principle, that this idea is the woman. We have to have a woman sense, a heavenly sense within us. That heavenly sense brings forth, so we see that the idea then is being born. Being born, we have to keep it safe through soul. How can we keep it safe through by spirit, by seeing that the idea is in heaven and not on earth, that the idea reflects all the seven synonymous terms. That is a state of being. Now comes life, truth, and love. Now comes the point where it says, but behind that idea is science that pushes on. Stately science pauses not. It pushes on and drives us on and on until we leave the wilderness behind ourselves and go into the promised land, cross the Jordan and take possession of the promised land. The symbolism changes then to truth, and that is also quite an interesting point, an absolute interesting point, which we will see. Namely, at that point of truth, it is stated that there was war in heaven, and that in heaven Michael was fighting a good war and was fighting against the dragon and in order to kill the dragon and was fighting the war. He fights the holy war. So Michael symbolizes spiritual strength. And you can see that we have to pull up our socks and say, oh, I jolly well have to take a good stand and stand where I am and not give in so quickly and be perseverant in my spiritual endeavor. And Michael leads the war. Mrs. Eddy interprets the Michael only with a few words, and that's interesting. Because she only says that he symbolizes spiritual strength, he fights the holy war, and then there's something which we must remember. Then she speaks about Gabriel. Revelation doesn't speak about Gabriel. So she interprets something that is not in the Revelation of St. John. And she puts into the place of Michael, she puts Gabriel. And Gabriel has a completely different spiritual meaning than Michael. So that she would say, and we have a similar situation later on again, she would say, yes, 2,000 years ago, in the 5,000 year period, at the time of Jesus, the main thing was really that Jesus could prove through his understanding really that he could heal sin, sickness and death. That was his mission, so to say, to show that there is a Father in heaven and that that Father in heaven is the truth that heals sin, sickness, and death. That's Michael. He fights the holy war. 2,000 years later, We have seen that Mrs. Eddy shows that healing is one department, but not the only department of Christian Science. That she said, I work in a different department of Christian Science. There is another angle to Christian Science than just the healing side. The other side of it is the Gabriel sense. And the Gabriel sense has nothing to do with the Michael sense. What is the Gabriel sense? Now, this is what we have to take in if we want not to be backwardish, if we don't want to be 2,000 years ago, but if we want to be modern, in the postmodern time, in our time, where Mrs. Eddy exchanges Michael for Gabriel, so as to say, drop that Michael sense as much as you can. You don't need to let him go 100%. It's still there and still may have a good mission there. But the main point is that you get the sense of another angel in heaven, namely Gabriel. And Gabriel means what? She says, it is the ever presence of ministering love. Can you see the difference between holy war? Michael was fighting the holy war. Gabriel doesn't fight. He has the ever presence of ministering, serving, love. He has no contests. Michael has contests. Michael has an enemy. Michael has a duality. He has to fight. He has to have an enemy. He has to use his sword. He has to use his two-edged sword. He has to kill. He has to kill error. We want to destroy error. How often do we say in Christian Science that truth destroys error? Many times. And it's in the textbook. But that's Michael. But that's not Gabriel. You see, Mrs. Eddy had to put into her textbook the various states of consciousness because she knew that the reader of her textbook is always at a different level of consciousness. But what she wants to show through the line from prayer to apocalypse is that we change our method of handling error. So for Gabriel, there is no contest. Is that a consciousness, a level of consciousness which we can imbibe, that we are always in a world without contest, where we don't have to fight against somebody, against something, against the body, against disease, against the sin, against, that's duality. So we don't have to destroy something. Quite to the contrary, we have to fill up, so to say, the situation with the ministering love. To infinite, ever-present love, all is love. So there is no contest, there is no enemy, there is nothing to fight, there is nothing to kill, there is nothing to destroy. Can we have that consciousness? Naturally, we can only have that consciousness if we change our standpoint. We change our standpoint to the capitalized terms and look out from the capitalized terms, from that standpoint we cannot have any enemy, any counterfeit, any error, anything that is of the nature of evil. We cannot have, because love is an ever-present love, and to that ever-present love all means always, that has nothing beside itself, all is love. It says there is no error, no sin, no sickness, no death. Against truth and love, the dragon cannot war. He cannot even war against us. So that we see if something arises which in earlier times we felt is an enemy, is against us, is trying to stop us or trying to put up an opposition or anything like that, that we have to rise in our consciousness to the point where we see that's not possible, because the dragon cannot war. He cannot war. We believe that he can war. We believe it. But in reality, he cannot war against truth and love. Against love, the dragon wars not long. Divine science shows how the lamb slays the wolf. The very opposite of what happens in nature. In nature, the wolf is really that which slays the lamb. And we have accepted that, and we are behaving like animals that we know are worse than animals. Animals don't kill each other of the same race. But we do. But year in and year out, we want to have our wars all over the world to kill each other. And not only kill each other, we supply the weapons that they can kill each other. Not only that we supply the weapons, we give them for nothing, because they will never pay back. We have fallen, mankind has fallen down really below the animal. So it is something that is latent in the atmosphere of humankind, and we have to be quite disciplined, I would say, that we always remember and go back to the right standpoint where we see that for love there is no contest. The dragon cannot war against love. We have no opposition. Wouldn't that be a state that we would like to have? We believe we could have that state of consciousness if the world would behave nicely, gently, lovingly, if the surrounding would be corrected, if they would do it, then we would do it also. But that's not the way of solution. The way of solution is that these things happen in consciousness, and consciousness is something that is within us. So the war goes on within us. And if we don't like the war, we jolly well have to stop it, and can stop it by having a different attitude towards those problems. Change the standpoint. It's a necessary change of standpoint. That's why we put out that little pamphlet of the necessary change of standpoint. It is here that we say, get rid of the Michael within us as much as we can and take on the Gabriel state of consciousness. Yes. Then the subject changes a little bit and we come to love in that Christianity order. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, now is come salvation. You can just hear, now has come salvation. You see, now, in the, so to say, a tone of love, in the, after we have gone through the whole order and have set things straight through the whole order of Christianity, now at the end in love, well, just like in the days of creation, we come to the day of rest, of salvation. Now has come salvation, and so on, and so on. So at that point we become conscious of the supremacy of truth and the nothingness of error. The nothingness of error. Still, when she says that, and when we read it, we still have a little sense of dualism within us. We still have the supremacy. If you have supremacy, you have something that is under it. And that which is under it is the nothingness of error. We still have a little duality within our consciousness. And even that must be resolved. And that will be resolved. How will it be resolved? We see then, and we go to the next level. But as a bridge to that next level, we have here that terrific sentence or passage, which on which we will which we'll take as a great subject later on, namely that she says, "The earth will help the woman." So we came from the angel to the woman. We went through the Christianity's order of the woman, have seen that love, the Gabriel sense, is the exalted, the climax sense of things. And so there comes the question, how can that high standard, that high sense of love be really demonstrated in this world, where the moon is put under the feet of the woman? And she said, the earth will help the woman. She doesn't say the Christian churches will help the woman. She not even says Christian Science will help the woman. She says the earth will help the woman. Whatever we understand under the earth is that we see that the whole universe is helping the woman. Not we, but the whole universe is developing in such a way, because it's under the impact of the Christ, in such a way that this idea of woman can be demonstrated in its purest sense. The earth will help the woman. You have here a term called will, and in this passage, which I am going to read, we see that she uses that term will 6 times in order to enforce that this is imperative and apodictical. She says, the earth will help the woman. How? Millions of unprejudiced minds, millions of unprejudiced. In Christian Science, we are very much prejudiced already. We have been drilled into believing all sorts of things. We have been drilled that the Constitution of the United States, which gives the right to freedom to every citizen of this country, that wonderful Declaration of Independence, giving the right to everyone, the right to read what he wants to read, the right to say what he wants to say, the right to listen to whatever he wants to listen to, has been taken away through a church organization. You are not allowed to read what you want to read. You are not allowed to say what you want to say. You are not allowed to use your freedom, which the Constitution has given, which every real democracy has given to its citizens. I never understood why Christian Scientists throw away their freedom. They have fought for that freedom many wars with lots of sacrifices, and now they throw it away. What a situation. So, next to that, there are millions of unprejudiced minds. There are millions of researchers, people that think independently, that think the way they want to think. They are discoverers and discoverers and discoverers, and they bring forth wonderful things. They are not under the dictation of an organization who tells them if their way of investigating a subject is allowed or is not allowed. They are free thinkers and free in doing what they are discovering. So these are the unprejudiced minds, and they are waiting for that rest. They seek and seek because they are not at rest. They know the world is in turmoil. They know that the world is in chaos. They want to find an answer to that chaotic world. They are not at rest. They go forward. They go forward. They are really go-getters in their field. In this age, the earth will help the woman. The spiritual idea will be understood. Those ready for the blessing you impart will give thanks. The waters will be pacified. The Christ will command the ways. In a Christianity and scientific way, sin is reduced to its native nothingness, so that under the supremacy of spirit, it will be seen. It will be seen and acknowledged that matter must disappear. The world will help the woman to show that matter must disappear, so that it becomes a scientific fact and not the dogma of Christian Science, which says material history comes to an end. They say the same thing, that material history comes to an end. But they can show that matter will disappear. And they show that it's right on the way to disappear right now. And it's just a question of time until it disappears completely. The earth will do that. So we will have to be big enough to get out of that cloistered cell where we are limited to a church organization, limited to a religion of Christian Science, where we broaden out our consciousness and look over the border, over the limitations of a church and a religion, into a science that is free, into a science that is worldwide, that is universal, and has no limits at all. That's what we have to do today. Yes. So we can see that here Mrs. Eddy was prophesying, so to say, that it will appear. We may not see it yet, because we may not have investigated it. The world at Jesus' time did not see the babe Jesus in the stable, but it was there. So, at that point, the whole interpretation of Revelation changes to a level of absolute Christian Science.